You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
National Party says activist and whistleblower Chelsea Manning should not be allowed to enter New Zealand on the grounds of her criminal convictions. Producer Daniel Meach spoke to Green Party MP Gauriz Gariman and started by asking her about who Chelsea Manning was and what she did. Well, is, I guess.
So Chelsea Manning is one of the more prominent whistleblowers who sort of came to prominence essentially sort of over the last decade or so because they were, and Snowden is probably, the WikiLeaks stuff is probably the most famous, but Chelsea Manning was particularly prominent because she sort of exposed the US military and some other abuses of power that were kind of happening around there. But essentially she put herself on the line in order to expose information that went to abuses of power that the public would not have otherwise known because the information was made legally confidential, which is what gave rise to her being charged with crimes associated with her exposing that information. She then went to prison in conditions that I would say were extraordinarily difficult because she is a transgendered person and she had to sort of live in a male prison while she was transitioning, and so she's actually had an incredibly difficult time sort of paying the price, so to speak, for what she thought was the right thing to do, and it turned out was the right thing to do because she did in fact provide proof of abuses of power that weren't in the public interest. So she's trying to come here now. She's served her time, and she's trying to come here and talk about these things.
So one of the people opposed to this obviously has been Michael Woodhouse, who the former immigration minister, who has said one of the reasons he doesn't believe Manning should be allowed to speak in New Zealand is because of the way her speech might impact New Zealand's relationship with the US. Firstly, do you believe that this is a valid reason to prevent someone from speaking in New Zealand? And secondly, do you think Manning's speech might negatively impact New Zealand's relationship with the US?
So those are really interrelated because the first kind of very simplistic reason, I don't think this is an issue, is that there is absolutely no indication that this would affect New Zealand's relationship with the US, so that's definitely something that's been trumped up. But leaving that to one side, I think it's almost offensive to say in a situation like this, where the person's so-called crimes, relate directly to exposing oppression and misuse of power, that we would say that we care more about our relationship with those who would hide misuses of power, who may be implicated in the misuses of power, as, the US government was, obviously. Not in particular this administration, but the US state. And that we would side with the oppressors in a situation like this and kind of go, oh, well, what if they don't want to be friends with us? Let's oppress her. Someone who's already done her time and whose only crime was to expose oppression and misuse of power. So it's actually particularly offensive in this case. But also there's literally no indication. It's not like the US has called on us to bar her. I don't think they're particularly worried. So it's definitely something that that just exposes Michael Woodhouse as having that position.
And so obviously this announcement that Woodhouse would like to see Chelsea barred from speaking in New Zealand comes at a time when freedom of speech is obviously quite topical. Do you believe that preventing Chelsea Manning from speaking would be an affront to freedom of speech?
Well, first of all, I mean, I've been very vocal on saying that freedom of speech is subject to the welfare and, essentially safety of others and their ability to sort of exercise their own rights, which it is, and that's why the minister has this discretion. It's right that the minister has the discretion. Having said that, in this particular case, there's absolutely no indication that Chelsea Manning poses a risk to the New Zealand public or anyone's ability to exercise their rights. So, again, her crimes were literally to expose misuses of power against the people, and the more we can learn about that, the more surely we can make ourselves safe and our democracy safe. So I do have to wonder if you're a person who feels like exposition of abuses of power poses a risk to you, you know, what does that say? And, you know, maybe you're part of the problem.
Another argument that Woodhouse used was that Chelsea Manning is different to these other speakers that have been in the news recently who were also attempted to be prevented from speaking in New Zealand. Woodhouse argues that with Chelsea Manning, the case is different because it's a convict profiting from their crimes. What would you say to that argument?
Well, I would say you look at kind of the rise of the kind of rhetoric that these other speakers that shall remain unnamed were espousing, and the argument that they posed a danger to society was actually based in truth, in the sense that we've seen exponential rise in hate crimes and misogyny wherever that kind of rhetoric has been on the rise. You can see the stats really clearly. During and after the Brexit campaign, for example, where the same rhetoric of, you know, white supremacy was being used to drive up political support for Brexit, and you saw the rise of hate crimes against migrants, against persons of colour in Britain. You've seen the same thing in the US, and you've seen the rise of misogyny wherever you kind of have this kind of rhetoric of feminism has gone too far, which is exactly what they were planning on saying when they came here, and they say regularly online. So actually the evidence is much more clear that they pose a threat to society than Chelsea Manning. She has committed very discreet crimes that are directly linked to her exposing other people's misuses of power that had far more reaching negative impacts on society. So she was trying to stop that.
On that point of trying to stop this negative impact on society at large, how important do you think it is to continue to allow people to speak out against authority figures?
It's incredibly important. It's sort of the basis of our democracy. And I mean, if people in power get to pass laws that criminalise themselves being held to account, then we've got a problem. And that's what the Chelsea Manning convictions really expose. You know, we've got really powerful corporate elites. We've got, you know, really powerful governments and militaries that get to kind of disproportionately influence what is and isn't a crime. And then, you know, you've got people like Chelsea Manning going, well, maybe as a freedom fighter, I'm just going to have to put my body on the line, as she did.
And finally, in your opinion, based on all that, do you believe the immigration minister should allow her to speak in New Zealand?
Absolutely. I think she poses no threat to New Zealand. In fact, we've only got to benefit from what she has to say.
All right, thank you. That was my last question, but one thing that I thought was really interesting that you brought up, I'm just trying to think of a way to ask this. I don't necessarily believe this, but one of the arguments that's always used is against, because obviously free speech has been very topical recently, and the idea that free speech should be limited when it crosses over into hate speech. One of the arguments that's always used against criminalizing or putting limits on hate speech is that who determines what hate speech is? That kind of argument. Like, well, if we criminalize hate speech today, then tomorrow the government might criminalize speaking out against the government. And in this case, I think this is an interesting one because it highlights maybe how that could become a problem. Again, not that I do believe this, but I just think it's an interesting thought. What would you say to that? How would you defend that argument?
I think the thing is that we're kind of behaving as if this is a really new thing, limits on freedom of speech, whereas it's actually not. It's just that now that things are online, we've kind of, you know, we don't regulate anything online, and now it feels new. But actually the only types of, I mean, criminalising something is really serious, and we have to be really careful about it. But there are obviously shades of, you know, trying to control different types of behaviour without criminalising it. But at the criminal end, it's generally things like threatening violence. So those are actually things that have existed for a really long time. So threatening violence, inciting a crime, things like that have always been crimes, and they're quite safely defined in the law. So we can, you know, we can see if someone, you know, hate speech would be if you're threatening violence or threatening to make some, a group of people unsafe based on their race, religion, nationality, you know, groups like that, that kind of makes it hate speech as in terms of threatening, rather than if you're just threatening an individual. So that's, it's not difficult to define that. But then there are different ways, you know, different sort of gradients of how we control speech. So at one end, it's like you can say it, but we can call it hate speech. And that's our criticism of what you've said. No one's stopping you from saying it, but we can show opposition by using our freedom of speech. There's not actually a limit to anyone's freedom of speech, and I think that's been a misconception that's been thrown around. So, you know, people protesting a speech isn't actually limiting the speaker's ability to speak. It's just that more people are against what you're saying and they're expressing that. A commercial venue deciding it's not profitable to have you speak, just as they might not, you know, let a band play because it's not profitable for them, is not limiting your freedom of speech, because you can go and stand on the street and say what you have to say, and if people gather, they gather. So those are, you know, those are different things, and I think people get a little bit mixed up. But of course, if you're criminalising something, that is, you know, very serious, and you should have really strict definitions. But we do. And we've been doing it for centuries. So, yeah, you can't threaten violence. Sorry. And if you threaten violence aimed at a group based on their race or whatever, that does get to be hate speech in a criminal sense.
That was Green Party MP Gorez Garraman reacting to the National Party's request to have whistleblower Chelsea Manning barred from entering New Zealand for a speaking tour.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.